You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Wednesday morning. I don't even know what day it is. Good Wednesday morning. We are a little past the halfway of Lent. Yes, well, last week was the halfway point. And here we are just 2 weeks out from Easter, which is very exciting. Starting to make my Easter plans. Actually, I'm hosting this year. Haven't hosted in a while. Which means that I have to get my house clean. Which means it's really, really, really good news that my hands seem to be healing. Yay! Let me tell you the story. It's a crazy story. You ready for this crazy story? This is a crazy story. So as you know, I have been just a mess with this stupid eczema since June. It has been in the crooks of my arms, my armpits, my legs, my feet, but most importantly, grossly, this is the TMI edition of A Seeking Heart. Welcome to the show. It has been on my hands, and my hands have been cracked and peeling and just ever so gross. I keep them hidden 99.9% of the time. I have to explain to everybody in mass and when I meet them and by retreats, I'm sorry, I can't shake your hand, and like recoil like they're acid. It's been wonderful. Humbling. Yes. Of course, as a germaphobe, not being able to shake people's hands, not exactly the worst thing that's ever happened to me, but it's a little humiliating. And I kind of do miss physical touch of people. Like, I feel like my husband says I need to walk down the aisle of the hallway of our house yelling, unclean, unclean. I look a little bit like I'm a leper. But the worst came about 5 days ago or so. After like a weekend of just trying different things and just getting more itchy, they were a mess. I've never seen them so horrific. And of course, you know, I have anxiety. I start to worry about getting an infection or even worse, like not just in my skin, but into my body. And you stay off the internet when it comes to diseases. Stay off of Wikipedia. Stay off of WebMD. Stay off all of that, because all it's going to do is mess with your head and make you think the most horrific things can happen to you, because they happened to one person once. It means they can happen anytime, and especially to you. So really feeding my anxiety. So I went for my walk to do my rosary for the day, but my hands hurt so bad that day that I couldn't even hold the rosary. That was how bad they were. So I left the rosary inside and I decided just to do the walk and pray, just pray, talk to my guardian angel, you know, Mary, pick a saint, like just barrage heaven for answers, for peace, whatever. So a while ago, maybe I don't even know now, a few years ago, I started to have a devotion to the Holy Souls. The thing about the Holy Souls and those that we, because we have no idea where our souls go, no one has exact proof, but the scriptures tell us that there's a heaven. And if you look deeper into the scriptures, there's this other place, this waiting place that we've called purgatory. And of course, Jesus tells us about hell. So there's like three options that the scriptures are, you know, pretty clear on. I'm shooting for heaven. I used to shoot for purgatory until Saint Teresa said, don't do that. Shoot for heaven. It aggrieves God when you say, I'm just shooting for purgatory. Like, you want to be a saint. The thing about the holy souls, those that we believe are in purgatory, those are being purified for heaven, and praying to them and believing in that has given me so much hope. And I've seen really remarkable and crazy things happen through that devotion. And, you know, for somebody who has anxiety, who worries about everything, being able to pray to those who have faced death, because like, let's face it, we don't actually have a choice in that. There's no like option. Like, you're going to die. And just saying those words causes me great anxiety. So being able to pray to those, especially those people that I love who have passed away, gives me great, great peace. So I don't even know when this started. I do the Day by Day book by Susan Tassone. That's from our Sunday Visitor. And I started that 2 years ago as my New Year's resolution. I did it for an entire year. Each day has a person's name on it that I pray for, as well as the prayers that are in the book. And then this year I started adding a second name to each page. Sadly, like this week, I don't think I've added this many names to the book since I started it back in 2016, January of 2016. Then, so one of the things I must have read in there talked about reaching out to your loved ones, your grandparents, your grandmothers, your grandfathers, etc., as your intercessors, your own personal, beautiful intercessors. So I have, like most, six grandmothers. I have my mother's mother and my father's mother, and then my great-grandparents. So I picked, I don't know why I picked the men. I pray to them sometimes, but I just feel this kinship to my grandmothers, though I've not met two of them. They were passed away before I was born. One I do not remember, my great-grandmothers. But I just, you know, they're part of my bloodline. They're part of my family. And they have to love me, right? Because I'm part of their family. So I started to pray for them, I pray for them first and foremost. And then I pray to them for intercession. I don't pray to them like they have powers. I pray to them to bring my prayers to God. So the first time I prayed this was a few months ago during Christmas. It was a couple days before Christmas. I had done a retreat and they had given me a generous check to pay for it. And I'm like, oh, Christmas is coming. This is great. You know, who doesn't need money at Christmas time? If you don't, I want to be your friend because I always need money, especially at Christmas time. So the check is made out to my business, Reconcile to You, but I'd closed that account. I figured I've been a client at this bank for 30 years, literally 30 years. I'm not even exaggerating. 30 years. It's a sole proprietorship. It's Allison Gingras doing business as Reconcile to You. No problem, right? No, I call. They said they can't cash it. I go in. They say they can't cash it. I'm furious at this point. So I go to Adoration. It just happens to be a Friday, so I'm going to Adoration anyway. I go and I pray on the way home. And I put a call into the regional manager hours ago, but he hadn't responded. I'm thinking it's 2 days before Christmas. He's probably leaving. I think it's just like Friday or Thursday. Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, it was Friday because I had Adoration. He's got to be going on vacation. There's no way he's going to respond. So I go to Adoration. On the way home, I think of my great-grandmothers. So I pray to the six of them. I said, ladies, need your help. You absolutely need to get on this and get this check cashed because I need the money. I finished praying like seconds past. I mean, maybe I was even still praying. The phone rings and it's the regional manager. True story. And he says, I understand your dilemma. This, and I said to him, and I really mean this, like I pick a community bank because I want to be treated like a customer, not a number. Like I want that community feeling. I was like, I want that special treatment. That's why I go community and not big. So he says, yes, I completely understand. Can you come back? We'll cash it right now. Like, grandmas, you are amazing. So I go get the check cash, la, la, la. Wonderful. That was Christmas. So I'm walking about a week ago and my hands are just horrible. Back to the hand story. They're just horrible. And I start to pray to my grandmothers. I'm like, I'm petrified I'm going to get sick. You know, I get most of this anxiety from a couple of you. Like, you know who you are. I'm not going to call you out, Hilda, but you know who you are. Like, you have to help me. Like, this anxiety, this fear of everything has to go pretty far back. So I start praying and I said, ladies, I need help because I can't deal with this. So I come in. I can barely, at this point, I can barely type, even with gloves on, everything hurts. And I'm trying to work and I can't focus. I decide to go once again to YouTube this time to look for home remedies for eczema. I'm like, there has to be something. I'm just missing it. Okay, so I come upon this video, and it's for raw apple cider vinegar and distilled water. Now, who has those two things in their house? Okay, I did. I did. Somebody had told me to buy this raw apple cider vinegar for our diet, like to help with our diet. And another time we had bought distilled water because Faithy needed a vaporizer, and that's what it called for. But my husband doesn't buy like one thing of it. He buys three giant jugs of it. So I have this in my house. So the first time I made the mixture and put it on my hands, I thought I was going to die. Like, ladies, like, what do you have up against me to send me so much pain? But instantly I started to see they were healing. 5 days later, using this twice a day and taking a shot of it for good measure, because it's really good for you. It really, believe it or not, it's really good for you. It has the quote unquote mother in it. I don't know what brand it is, but it doesn't taste that horrible. And my hands don't burn as much when I put it on. Like, the first day I was like, oh my goodness. It was like, I'd rather give birth than put this on my hands. It was that bad. It was that painful. But I offered it up like my good grandma's taught me. 5 days later, I'm just using A&D. I'm doing the apple cider vinegar twice a day still, but I just need A&D ointment and Aquaphor, and it's working. My hands work. I don't need gloves. Like, today was the first day working without gloves on. It's quite remarkable. So that's part of what I wanted to talk to you about, is just this Lent. Lent, sometimes life is Lent. And I didn't mind the suffering, but at some point, the whole point was I need to now clean my house because I am hosting Easter. So I needed my hands back. So thank you, grandmas. Thank you, Jesus, because you're the one, of course, who did the ultimate healing. We come back, I'm going to give you a Lenten update. I can't wait to share with you. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're just catching up today. Told you about my miraculous hand healing. Kind of excited about that. Thank you, grandmas. Thank you most especially, of course, Jesus, for the healing. There was an article I read once that said, like, people with eczema spend over $2,000 a year on trying to find a cure. And I thought, yeah, I'm pretty close to that. But now I just started throwing everything away, sticking with the basics, and just so grateful. Even if it's just a temporary fix. I also started taking an antihistamine every day, so hopefully that will help. And, you know, taking better care of myself, walking, eating better. Part of my Lent, I'm going to skip ahead and I'll go back to prayer in a second. Part of my Lent was doing some fasting. I fasted from television, but I'll get to that in a second. And I also decided to try maybe fasting from some foods that could be triggering the eczema. And it's really, it's like one of those things where, you know, it's good for you. You know, you should be doing it. You're suffering greatly, yet you don't choose the better path. You just, it's like you go into denial. Oh, it can't be eggs that is causing this. Though everything I read said eggs. It can't be the peanut butter you eat every single day because you love peanut butter so much and you can't have dairy, so you're trying to find a way to have calcium. No, it can't be that. But everything I read said peanut butter. So it's been, 4 weeks now since Lent started, and I haven't had eggs and I haven't had much peanut butter. I can't say I've been perfect with the peanut butter. I am kind of a fan, but I don't need it every single day. I was having toast and peanut butter and jelly every single day. And it's very possible. It was, you know, very well timed with with the eczema breakout. So here we have this Lenten period, and included in this is extra grace. Like everybody, not everybody, but a great number of people are sacrificing their fasting, their almsgiving, they're praying more. They're very mindful of this journey towards Christ. They're trying to grow closer. They've got their ashes. They're, you know, looking forward to Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And Pentecost, like this is all coming forward, and there's so many people kind of in that mindset that this grace, I just feel like this time of Lent, grace abounds. And so for me, I Lenten overachiever, I picked 6 things to do, and 2 fasts, 2 alms, and 2 prayer. The pillars are prayer and fasting, and I added 2 to each pillar. I just learned it was a pillar. I was calling it a tenet. I don't know. It probably has the same meaning, but it's really called a pillar of Lent, these 3 things. And I'm an overachiever, so I have 6. The fasting has been very interesting because I've been unable to eat gluten and dairy now for probably 2 or 3 years. Doing pretty good with that, started that during Lent as well. It's like that extra boost of grace that I need to give up the things that I have, I would say, and probably have an addiction to. Like, I love sugar. I love bread. You know, the scriptures say, you know, man cannot live on bread alone. I think women can. I feel like I could bunk that myth. I could absolutely, if it didn't make me deathly ill, live on bread alone. Give me a little bit of Portuguese sweet bread, and I'm a happy, happy girl. I lived basically on that as a kid. Just ask my mother. Pickles and bread. Go figure. But sometimes this stuff isn't good for us. It can make us sick. And to not be able to give it up, not to be able to go, oh, that doesn't make me feel good, I probably shouldn't have that. It's interesting, like the mind, how our minds work and how we can't always give that up. So for Lent, I decided to really use this time to sacrifice, to fast from eggs and peanut butter, almonds, and gave up my almond milk, moved to coconut milk, which, hey, you know what, in the end, tastes better. Who knew? Then, of course, dairy and gluten, though I have to be going to come clean here. Saturday, had a little tiny dish of vanilla ice cream. It was awesome. Now, I have to be very careful. It did not make me sick, but I can't go, oh, look, I'm healed, and jump back in. And I think that, you know, it kind of, everything reminds me of reconciliation, of the sacrament of reconciliation, of confession. I just wrote a piece for the Diocesan Publications. It's out there. You can find it on Reconciled to You, or you can send me a message, or maybe I'll even remember one of these days to put it in show notes. But I talked about how, like, my hands, the eczema on my hands, really reminded me of the things that have to do with confession, you know, and sin. It's interesting how everything can really have to do with sin. You know, cleaning my soul when I go to confession, which I'm getting to, like fasting from those sins, I can do it for a little bit and it feels so good when I've done it. But then I find myself kind of slipping back into it again and trying really hard this time. Like, oh, so I had a little bit of dairy. So I don't want to, you know, think, oh, I'm fine. I can have more dairy and I'm not going to slip back into full dairy where I'm sick again. It's kind of the same thing with some of the sins that I struggle with, you know, envy, like, or jealousy, or gossip. And gossip is probably a really good one for that. I'm really good at not gossiping anymore because I don't allow myself even a little bit. Because if I do, like an addict, I'm going to be right back in. But there are some things that we can have a little control over. Like, I can have wine without having to have it every day or in large quantities. So maybe I could have a little tiny bit of ice cream every few months. Last time I tried it and it didn't make me sick, I went back the very next day. And I went to a bigger container. Can you relate to this? I bet you can. I bet there's something in your life that you know isn't really good for you that you try and try again to break free from it, either by fasting cold turkey or limiting how much you have. And you know how good you feel when you've been able to put it aside. And you know, you kind of have to keep up that battle. And I think that's what confession does for us. I know, kind of, maybe I'm just crazy that I can see confession in everything, you know, even in hand eczema, like how my hands it was embarrassed by them. So I tried to hide them. I needed a physician. And the longer I went without one, the longer I had needless suffering, where Jesus is our great physician. Okay, so this doesn't work exactly because I didn't go to a doctor, but I did go, but he just said, stop using hand sanitizer, and that's not my problem, but I didn't go back. So there's lots of stuff in our life that we need to break free of, and Lent is a great time to do that, whatever that is. My other thing that I gave up was TV, because I do find that television sucks away countless hours that God has for me. Like, he is so good and gracious, and the gifts that he's given me and the blessings that the opportunities, like being able to write for diocesan publications too. They're doing a Lenten series. So each day they had a Lent reflection, and I was able to write two of them. This last one was a really, you know, sometimes you just feel like what God has asked you to do must be really important, because every obstacle you can think of comes up to keep you from actually accomplishing what God has asked you to do. So it was due at 3:00. Well, actually it was due the week before, but she said I could have until 3:00 on Monday. It was due 3:00 on Monday. I sent it to her at 3:00. On Monday, maybe like 3:02. That has to do with my hands. It's kind of funny how I was struggling with my hands, and that ended up becoming the crux of my reflection. Well, because the gospel that I was writing on was the man at the well. I know there's a fancy place of where he is. I know there's a fancy place because Sarah Crispire shared the reflection and she used it. Bethesda, maybe, that might be where he is. Anyway, there's a well, and an angel comes and stirs it up. And then you need to be the first person who gets in, gets cured, but he's lame, so he's not able to get himself in there. He needs the help of another. And it made me think about how there's so many situations where I think I'm waiting for the help of another, but really all I needed was Jesus. And that's who brought him his ultimate healing, was Jesus. And here I'm trying to write and I can't even type. And I'm thinking I need all of these medicines and cures that are all over my house. But really in the end, I just needed Jesus and vinegar and water. Who knew? God knew. So this Lenten update has to do with fasting from television, getting more time to do things, more time to prayer, more time with God. I'd love to give it up completely, kind of like I have dairy and gluten, but like my little need for ice cream now and then, I don't think I could live without NASCAR or Dancing with the Stars or Shark Tank or banking the baking championships that come on Food Network. Do I bake? No, but I like it and I like watching them because I'm goofy. So I don't know how your Lent is going. Would love to hear from you. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. If you want to call in and share how your prayer, fasting, and almsgiving is going. So far, I feel like I've had some moments where life is Lent and it's been hard. I think everybody has moments where we can look at our life being Lent. You can't fail Lent, because life, again, is Lent. I'm going to be back after these messages to look at prayer. I've been reading the Gospel of John and, of course, doing the Walk in Her Sandals Wine Online Lenten Book Club. Going to give you an update on that. It's been amazing, and I'm sure you have been following along with that as well. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and I'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We're talking today about Lent. We are more than halfway through, just a few more weeks, and we will be at Easter with Holy Week. I can't wait for Holy Week. I love Holy Week. We have some really neat traditions in our parish. I love my new parish. Well, I'm not new now to me. I suppose I've been there for about 5 years, but it's so tiny and sweet and country, and our pastor is a rock star, and it's just an amazing place to worship. And we have on Thursday, on Holy Thursday, when Mass is finished, we go to what we do is called the seven visits, and we visit seven churches in our area. We're very blessed to live where we can, in 2 hour span, less than 2 hour span, I think, visit seven churches and pray, go to an adoration and pray at these churches or chapels. It's kind of amazing. And it's one of my favorite. I never heard of it before until I came to this parish. I think that if they close them around us and it becomes impossible to reach seven, I'm going to have to find a city somewhere where I can do this, because it's just, I hope and pray that our world never gets to the point where we have so few priests that this beautiful tradition cannot continue to happen. Though, I suppose, if I can't do this anymore, my other dream is to spend Holy Thursday night in a garden. Truly, like, I know that sounds insane, but I would love to do that. My friends are missionaries, Life Teen Missions, and they spend time at Cove Crest when they're not in Haiti. And Cove Crest, Life Teen Mission Camp, does that. It's in Georgia, and they have a garden. I don't know if they do it every year, but I know she said they did it at least once, where they put Jesus in adoration in the garden. So you can come and sit with Jesus in a garden on Holy Thursday night. Does that just sound like the bomb? Like, I absolutely would love to do that. So anyway, Lent, I know I've told you at the beginning of this Lenten season, I am a Lenten dork. I absolutely love Lent. The extra graces, the time to better yourself, to have that focus, to give, to pray, to fast that I don't normally have. And I do, like I said, I pray that some of this stuff stays. I pray I don't go back to watching television as much as I was. I usually do pretty good until the Hallmark movies come out at Christmas. I'm usually pretty good at not jumping back in. Right now I'm only watching on Sundays, and I've only allowed myself a few shows that I could DVR. Like, it doesn't make any sense to say, all right, I won't watch all week, but then I'll DVR everything and watch it like a crazy woman on Sundays. That doesn't seem to be in the spirit of this at all. So hopefully I'll be able to do the same. You know, baseball season's coming. I am a Red Sox fan. Might be hard, but at least with baseball, you can multitask. My husband's like, you could go out, you could go shopping, you could run a marathon, you could come back with baseball and still not miss a single thing, which is not true, but close. Some games, especially when the Red Sox play the Yankees, I feel like those games go on for weeks. But the most part, though, I hope that I can keep this fast from television, because I have been way more productive, way, 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 way more productive. And now that, you know, my hands seem to be functioning better, that hopefully will up the productivity too. But productivity doesn't always mean finishing tasks. Sometimes it means overcoming something. Like, I really hope in this next year to be able to overcome a little bit more of my anxiety. I feel like I have moments where I'm at peace and I'm not worried so much and I'm not so fearful, because for me, that's what anxiety is. It's like this worry, fear, doubt conglomeration that sometimes physically makes me sick, but it often keeps me from accomplishing things. It kind of freezes me in my place. In fact, mark your calendars. I have decided what my post-Easter blog series will be. Okay, here we go. It's on anxiety and ADHD, because I have both. And I used to, in my previous life, not that I believe in reincarnation, but I mean, before becoming a Catholic, coming into Catholic ministry, I was an early childhood educator, and my specialty was attention deficit disorder. It's what I spoke on. It's what I wrote about. And I don't know why I just kind of put it aside. And praying lately, like in this time of prayer and fasting and alms and giving God more time in Lent, I said, Lord, you know, after Easter, I really want to do something special. What should I do? And I just kept thinking about my ADHD and my anxiety. And here's the title. You're going to love this. This is great. Squirrels in Scripture. Not in Scripture. And Scripture. Squirrels and Scripture. Or maybe Scripture and Squirrels. I'm not really sure how it's going to go. But that's the title of my post-Easter blog series. I'm super excited. I've already been collecting squirrel pictures so I can put up the scriptures. Yes, I am going to put scriptures and squirrels together in Catholic memes and send them out everywhere. Can't wait. I'm so excited for that. Yep. Let me know what you think about that crazy idea. And what part, if you suffer from anxiety and or ADHD, which, by the way, anxiety is considered what's called a comorbid condition of ADHD. Many, many people with attention deficit, hyper or non-hyperactivity disorder suffer from anxiety, depression, OCD. There's a whole bunch of comorbid or coexisting conditions with ADHD. And most ADHD, especially if you're in your 40s or 50s or even beyond, have gone undiagnosed. It wasn't something that people considered. We just thought we were stupid or, just self-esteem issues is all wrapped up in that from being undiagnosed. So lots of good stuff coming post-Easter. That's what's going to happen. I'll be talking about here as well as blogging about it. So if you've got anything about those topics you want me to cover, be sure to send me a message. You can go to reconciledtoyou.com. You can contact me there. You can send messages there. You can also, if you need a prayer, by the way, I'm going to adoration today. Head over to reconciledtoyou.com. Click on need prayer. I'd be happy to bring your requests and to the Lord in adoration. You can also always write to info@reconciledtoyou.com or go to, A Seeking Heart on Facebook. Lots and lots and lots of ways. You can text here, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. Or you can call in. Any of those ways can get you to me. You can send me a message, ask for prayers, help me to do this post-Easter squirrels in Scripture on ADHD and anxiety. I'm going to be talking a lot about St. Peter because I believe that St. Peter may have been a little ADHD, a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's just my theory. Sticking to it. But today we're still looking at Lent and we're talking about this Lenten update for today's show. And I'm going to look now at prayer. And I wrote in my notes as I was preparing this morning that my Lenten plans, Lenten overachiever that I am, it could be also subtitled The Best Laid Plans of Mice and Men. I try. I feel like in some aspects I've done really well. I maybe haven't gone to the letter with the fasting for the food for the eczema diet, but I've done much better than I have the previous 10 months. And television I've done really well at. A couple nights, I turned it on a Saturday past. You're going to love this. The way that my brain thinks, it's past sunset. So we're already in the Sabbath. It's already that time. And then this Saturday was the Annunciation of the Lord. The Annunciation, right? Of not the Lord. Is it? Yes. Whatever else. And it was the Annunciation. It's the solemnity for our Blessed Mother when she received news that she was going to carry Jesus. And it's a solemnity is a special day in the church. Every Sunday is one. So when you have one of these days, you do not fast. It is a day of celebration. So I may have turned the TV at 2 o'clock to watch the Revs play soccer. May have. Yes, I may have. And then watched the race and then kept it on for a little bit. Watched baseball. Can you tell I really, really, really like sports? I really do. So I watched. And the DVR just makes it too easy to watch sports. Anyway, so I watched a lot of sports and then Sunday watched a little bit more. But for the most part, I think I'm doing pretty good. Prayer, I think I've also knocked this one out of the park. I have been doing reading the Gospel of John at church and up and making it there every week. This week I stayed home, but then the Lord showed me quite quickly why I was home. I needed to be around to help a friend. And it was also some much needed family time that I needed. And of course, the walk in her sandals, Lenten book club, that has been incredible. It's not too late to join it. You can go to CatholicVineyard.com for more information. Or if you're on Facebook, you can search Wine Lenten Book Club, ask to join the group. We'll let you in. You can catch up or you can join right where you're at. Every day there's a new meme with a quote from the book as well as great discussion that is happening. I'm going to do a Facebook Live today over there on the Wine Lenten Book Club at 2 o'clock. After, you know, I just have to shower first and put on a little bit of makeup. It's all good. Get a little good lighting. And we'll be talking about this week's stuff, which is Holy Saturday, this whole waiting and the gift of prayer is also what I talked about. I shared the story of waiting for my daughter and how, you know, sometimes prayer isn't answered exactly how or when you want, because it's not about you, that God is answering somebody else's prayer. That's the lessons I learned quite often in the adoption of my daughter. So prayer's been going pretty good. Love to know how your prayer life is going. Love to know if you need any help with your prayer life. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about Lent, given a Lenten update, talking about fasting and prayer and almsgiving, charity, like what this Lent has been like. And if you want to join me, 473-573, don't call 473. I don't know who you'll get. Well, maybe if you're feeling adventurous. No, just kidding. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Or you can send me a message at seekingheart@breadboxmedia.com for prayer requests or anything you'd love to see us talk about here on the show. Next week, I'm going to be doing a special week on the woman at the well. I told you my prayer life, part of my prayer for the Lent has been to read the Gospel of John. And in John 4, we meet the woman at the well, whose name we never know, because like some of the things as in the Bible, as Danielle Bean remind us, is the omission is just as important as what's written. And I think that she's left unnamed because there's a part of her that we all should be able to or could be able to relate to. And for some reason, the woman is hounding me right now. Everywhere I turn, I am seeing the woman in the well. It was part of the gospel a few weeks ago. Danielle Bean talked about it for her book, You're Worth It. It came up in a blog post that I belong to different blog communities on Facebook, and we do a thing where we help share each other's work. So if you post, then the person before you is the one that you read, you share, you promote. So this week, the person, and it's very random. I mean, I have, you know, just godsidental stuff, just putting it on there at different times of the day. And the person's post was Lion of Design, which is great. Kim Cook, love her stuff. It was about the woman in the well. I said, okay, now. And I had been kind of toying with this idea of doing a week on the Women of the Well because we also encountered her with Your Faith Has Made You Well by Barbara Hoschbeck and Who Does He Say You Are, Colleen Mitchell. The Bible commentaries are fantastic on it. So I just really wanted to dive into that as the last week of Lent before we head into Easter, like this whole idea of how Jesus thirsts for us. Like we're going to hear those words on Good Friday from the cross. He says, I thirst. And we hear it first where he's at this well with this woman and he says, I thirst. So I really wanted to dig a little deeper into that and share it. So that's next week's show. Monday through Friday will be here. So on Tuesday, I'm going to replay the interview that I had with Colleen Mitchell from Who Does He Say You Are? Because in there, we talk a lot about that woman. And then on Friday next week is Christina Trinidad. And she might not know this yet, but we're going to talk about it next Friday as well. I'm looking forward to having Christina back. It's been a while since we've got to talk with her. So Faithfully Social, Christina Trinidad, Christina Makes. Going to be excited to spend some time. And all week we'll be talking about the woman at the well. And if you're not a woman, you're still going to find that she has a lot to teach you. Trust me on that one. Speaking of to teach you, speaking about not being able to speak, speaking about to teach you and not being a woman, this Saturday, April 1st, no fooling, I have a retreat that I'm offering at St. Bernard's in Assonet, Massachusetts. It is my first co-ed retreat. I am so excited, yet a little nervous, to bring this retreats to St. Bernard's for both men and women. It's called Building a Firm Foundation of Faith, which I got this really cool affirmation that this is what I need to be talking about when I received this email that I get every day called Echoes of Eternity, and they're words from somebody's encounters with Christ in prayer. And in it, it talked about how God was calling me to go out and talk about, well, it's not just me, it says everyone called out to go out and speak the words of God and to help others build a firm foundation of faith. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, whoa, that's what I'm doing. Well, God-sentence moments, those always blow my mind. I love them. So if you're around, it's free of charge. Reserve your seat if you can, but just come if you haven't. If you wake up Saturday morning, you happen to be near Assonet, Massachusetts, St. Bernard's, and you want to join us 8:30 to noon, breakfast will be provided. I'll be there, and I'm excited to share with you about prayer, sacrament, and scripture. That's our foundation, grace trifecta. I'm going to be trying to figure out how to talk about this without using, because in retreats, especially when the women, my stories and the way I present are very feminine. We talk about menopause, we talk about shoes, shopping. Yeah. We throw husbands under buses. Like, that's, we can't do those with the men there. So I'm excited to see what the Holy Spirit's going to do. I begin every retreat with the same words, Lord, let your work and will be done and let me get out of your way. So come if you are around on April 1st, Saturday, 8:30 to noon, St. Bernard's Church. You can get more information by going to reconciledtoyou.com and clicking on events. Now let's wrap up our Lenten update show with almsgiving charity. Oh my, yes. So giving money, I've done pretty well at. My two, what I was hoping to accomplish were the 40 days, 40 bags decluttering thing. I did day one. I made the list, but I did day one. A lot had to do with my hands, and a lot more had to do with me being just lazy. I just don't like to clean, and I don't like to clutter. And you know, when you can't use your hands, it makes it even the more difficult. So that's on my agenda to finish up before Easter comes. 40 days. It doesn't say which 40 days you have to do, but I think mine's going to be condensed because I have a lot to do before Easter and hosting. And so I've done, again, pretty good at giving money. The Lord has. So the idea was first decluttering and giving away excess in our home, you know, blessing forward the things we no longer use. And the other thing was we're supposed to cut back on what we spent so we would have money to give to charity, to tithe. And it was supposed to wait till the end of Easter, but you know what? Things keep popping up. And one of the things I've noticed is that there are many people in my own community in need. And so anytime something comes through my Facebook feed or to my attention or from Pat, from my church or from a friend of somebody needing, I just ask the Lord to bless us, to be able to bless it forward, to, you know, and not to have anxiety in giving money. Sometimes it's easy to look at my own bills, my own needs, and be like, oh, I can't give this because I'm going to need it. But there's a great lesson. And I learned this when I did a Compass Catholic, Manage Your Money God's Way, John and Evelyn Bean. I learned this probably most important lesson from their fabulous study, Manage Your Money God's Way, was that God is never outdone in his generosity. And you think that what you're giving from, especially when it's from your need and not from your excess, that you're going to be wanting, but he's never outdone in his generosity. When we were going through that horrible financial time back in November, I had taken the church bill and the Catholic charities and stuck it to the bottom of the pile, knowing they were pretty hefty amounts that we usually give, and that if I gave them, we were going to be really in dire straits. And instead, I had gone to Mass that Sunday morning, and it was the gospel about the widow's mite, giving from her need. And it was the story of Elijah coming to that home and that woman cooking from the little bit left she had of flour and oil. And then the Lord kept that jug and that bin filled for the entire time of their drought. And, you know, that was, people were blessed by their ability to trust in God's divine providence. So that's what I'm trying to do, Lent. And even though we're maybe not doing as well, reeling in our expenses as much as we had hoped to, we're doing pretty good. Only going out to eat once a week again, Saturday was that special solemnity. So we may have ordered a little Chinese food, but where the things are different was I usually would order about $70 worth of Chinese food. And this time we really looked at who was home, who was hungry, and what they, only the basic minimum that they needed for that meal, not, you know, a week's worth of food. And we spent Kevin got there to pay for it and came home and he goes, I thought you had forgotten to order something. Because I don't think I've ever been able to pay cash or that little for eating out. So these little things, really, they do add up. These little changes and decisions we make during Lent to pray more often, doing, you know, the Wine Lenten Book Club, having the women here on Wednesdays, which means, you know, I have Bible study Monday and Wednesday. And yeah, that could feel taxing. That's a lot of time. But I see the blessings. I'm blessed. I hope that they're blessed for coming, being able to pray the Gospel of John and all the things that I'm gleaning from that, and how that's going to really affect how I enter into the Easter season, being able to fast and now to give. And so I'm just starting to say that anything coming through my Facebook feed where people need, I've been praying and asking the Lord just to allow me to have peace as I give and help others. And I hope that you're being able to do some of this stuff as well. If you want to share what you've been doing, come over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. Go to reconciledtoyou.com. You can contact me there. Send me a message anytime. And of course, you're always welcome onto the show, 573-4-BREAD-4. Of course, it's only 1 minute left in today's show, but put this number aside and give me a call or text in another day, 573-4-BREAD-4. Tomorrow, I'll be joined by the lovely ladies of Hail Mary. Huh? Pretty clever, huh? Hail Mary. Their podcast is fantastic. And I think you're going to really enjoy our show tomorrow. Yes, you are. My phone, you know, I always turn my phone upside down. And today I didn't. And it just, I'm like Pavlov's dog. Give me a shiny light or a shiny noise and I'm done. See, squirrels in scripture. This is going to be a fabulous post-Easter series. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.